Nay, Uncle, but you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as the reason for not coming now?
Good afternoon, said Scrooge.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why cannot we be friends?
Good afternoon, said Scrooge.
I'm sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I have been a party, but I made the trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon!
And a happy new year.
Good afternoon!
His nephew left the room without an angry word, notwithstanding. He stopped at the outer door to bestow the greetings of the season on the clerk, who, cold as he was warmer than Scrooge, for he returned them cordially.
There's another fellow, muttered Scrooge. My clerk with 15 shillings a week and a wife and family talking about a merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam.
This lunatic, in letting Scrooge's nephew out, had let two other people in. They were portly gentlemen, pleasant to behold, and now stood with their hats off in Scrooge's office. They had books and papers in their hands and bowed to him.
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe, said one of the gentlemen. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
We have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partners, said the gentleman, presenting his credentials. It certainly was, for they have been two kindred spirits. At the ominous word liberality, Scrooge frowned and shook his head and handed the credentials back. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly. Present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, sir.
Are there no prisons, said Scrooge.
Plenty of prisons, said the gentleman.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are, sir. Still, I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor then, said Scrooge.
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, I was afraid of what you said at first. If something had occurred to stop them in their useful course, I'm very glad to hear it.
Under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude, returned the gentleman. Few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We choose this time because it is a time of all others when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing!
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, and those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Besides, excuse me, I don't know that.
But you might know it.
It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Seeing clearly that it would be useless to pursue their point, the gentleman withdrew. Scrooge remained and resumed his labors with an improved opinion of himself and in a more facetious temper than was usual with him. Meanwhile, the fog and darkness thickened so that people ran about with flaring links, proffering their service to go before horses and carriages and conduct them on their way. The ancient tower of the church, whose gruff old bell was always peeping slyly down at Scrooge out of a Gothic window in the wall, became invisible and struck the hours and quarters in the clouds with tremulous vibrations afterward, as if its teeth were chattering in its frozen head up there. The cold became intense. In the main street, at the corner of the court, some laborers were repairing the gas pipes and had lighted a great light in the brazier, around which a party of ragged men and boys were gathered, warming their hands and winking their eyes before the blaze in rapture. The water plug being left in solitude, its overflowing sullenly congealed and turned into misanthropic ice. The brightness of the shops, where holly sprigs and berries crackled in the lamp